So today's Bible reading will be from Luke chapter 10, verse 25 to 37. On one occasion, an expert of the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbour?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man who was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to the inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbour to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise."
Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's my privilege and honour to be able to share with you the word of God. Before I start, I have to do an apology because I have to leave right after the sermon. So before we start, shall we pray and commit our time to the Lord? Dear Lord, we come to you. We ask that you will help us to focus on what you have to share, to speak to us personally and individually. For pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If you are the one, how many of you have seen this show, TV show? Raise your hand. Higher. Not too many. Oh, I wonder. First, I thought this is a rather young congregation. Come on, be real. Raise up your hand. You must have heard of it at least, right? Yes. Most people who raise up your hands are youngsters. Well, I didn't know about anything about this show. Quiet down, please. Okay, yes. Settle down. Let's not get too excited about it, okay? So usually at home, we don't watch TV during dinner time. But a few months back, my elder daughter, she is studying uni. So she asked me, "Dad, can I just turn on the TV?" I said, "Why? What? What for?" She said, "Just turn it on. Something really good. You'll like it. I'm sure you'll like it." I said, "Okay, which channel?" SBS2. I thought, SBS2? Oh, so intellectual. Or so boring, I mean. It's nothing commercial, not from 7, 9 or 10. So I switched it on. For those who have not seen this show, TV show before, it is a dating show. So basically you have about, 15? How many contestants? Or how many beautiful ladies? Single? What, 10? 24. See? I asked this question, everybody knew the answer. 24 to be exact. There are 24 beautiful single ladies standing on the line. Each of them will have a buzzer. The default will be green light. So then the contestant or the potential single guy will walk in, and then from the start, okay, you say, "Oh, I don't like him. Nah, I just don't like his height and his look, or he doesn't have the Korean haircut. It's not cool enough," and so on. Buzzer, red. Red means what? No, out. Okay, it's quite interesting, isn't it? Okay, and usually, if the guy is handsome and so on and so forth, young and all that, right? Before he starts babbling and all that, then everybody will stay green. But once he starts talking about himself, I remember one show, that guy was just kept talking about his ex. And said, "Oh, I miss my ex-girlfriend. Oh, she was so wonderful. Oh, I really miss her. What I would like to do is to find someone like her." That's a no-no. Anyway, my wife and I, interestingly, for the parents, my wife and I also enjoy the show very much. It's very interesting. For us, we always say, oh, this guy, we're not that shallow, you see. So we say, oh, yes, he's good looking, but we have to wait and see. What we're looking for, of course, is that my daughter's taste, of course. But we do it rather subtly and say, oh, this guy is not real. I mean, he's a fake. I mean, he's so fake. You know, he's all about himself. So basically what I'm trying to say is the show is really interesting. People are trying to impress people, but interestingly they have a perception of themselves. And I think like all of us, we would like to look for the better half, your other half, to be someone who is genuine and real. And even with a lot of you maybe still young, even with your friends, you'd like to meet a friend or your good friend to be genuine and real with you. Imagine if you have a very good friend, you think he or she is a very good friend, but then you realize that behind your back, he's gossiping about you, criticizing you. On the one hand, he says, ah, yes, oh, that's nice, it's good looking, yes, you dress nicely, yes, there, yes. On the other, oh, she's real, yes. But same with our faith, isn't it? Have you ever asked this question? How many of you come to church every week since you were born? You came to church every week, more or less, since you were born. Many of you. But have you asked this question? Is my faith genuine? And is my love for others real? It is a very serious question. And this question that I'm going to share with you, hopefully God will speak to you directly. So when I thought to myself, okay, I'm going to talk to you about this message, which passage in the Bible I'm going to turn to. So I'm going to turn to this very familiar passage about the Samaritan, Good Samaritan, okay? I suppose many of you are very familiar with this passage. Raise up your hand if you have not heard the Good Samaritan story. Oh, it seems that there's no point for me to go on. Everybody knows the story. But if you look at the story, then you'll find that sometimes when we read the story, we miss the essence of the story. The question we have, basically, is we have this, we say in the scripture, that there's no, I hope everybody has a scripture in front of you. But then you have got this scenario, you've got this expert in law. We say the lawyer, but in fact he's an Old Testament expert. He approached Jesus and he challenged him with a question. The question was, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to inherit eternal life? This is a rather neutral question. Neutral in the sense that a genuine person can ask this kind of question. I really genuinely want to know about this question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? But it is not that neutral. Because Luke, when he recorded this message, he had this personal narrative saying that the Old Testament expert was in fact challenging Jesus Christ with this rather neutral question. And to start off with, he was rather polite and saying, Teacher, what must I do? It's a neutral question with an ulterior and ill intent. He was challenging Jesus. His faith wasn't real. And definitely, he has no love toward Jesus. His only aim is to challenge Jesus' authority. So this is the context. When we talk about the Good Samaritan, usually we didn't know or we didn't realize this context. It is in this context that Jesus continued to answer him. What did Jesus say? Jesus, in response, said, what is written in the law? What is written in the law? And secondly, how do you read it? What is written in the law and how do you read it? Obviously, as an Old Testament expert, he knew the answer. What was the answer? Nice and simple. Love your God and love your neighbors as yourself. So in a nutshell, he was able to summarize the whole of the Old Testament in just two verses. Love your God and love your neighbors as yourself. But has he actually answered Jesus' question? What is written in the law? And how do you read it? There are two parts to Jesus' question. It's the what part and the how part. A what question and a how question. It is a bit like when I ask you, what do you do in response to your parents' love? What would you say? What? You have no answer. I'm so sorry for the parents here. Living Zone Church, I'm so sorry for your parents. You must be crying now. What will be your response to your parents' love? Still no response. Parents, help them out. I suppose a simple answer is love them back. No? Your parents love you, you love them back. So that's a what question. The more difficult question is the how question. So how do you read it? How do you actually respond to your parents' love? Did you actually carry it out? So that's the how question. It's a much more difficult question. So for Jesus, he asked these two questions. And for the Old Testament expert, he answered the first one, leaving the second part untouched. Jesus was very kind to him. Jesus knew that he didn't answer the second part. So Jesus answered for him, saying that what you need to do is just do it. Just do it. So basically, it's not how much you know, but whether you do what you know. A lot of us here, for those who are grown up in a Christian family, you have a lot of head knowledge. You have a lot of head knowledge. But the real issue is, do you have a heart to follow what's in your head? If you do, your faith is genuine. But if you don't, you're just a fake. You are a hypocrite. You're trying to impress others with your knowledge, but you're not fooling God. So, imagine if you were the Old Testament expert. After hearing this, how would you feel? You feel a bit embarrassed, a bit bitter. You were trying to embarrass, you're trying to challenge Jesus. In return, he challenged you back. He asked you to do what's in your head. So, obviously the Old Testament expert wasn't very happy. So, he asked Jesus another question, another set of questions. He could have just left, and the story could have just ended there, but he didn't. He wanted to justify his answer. He wanted to find a loophole in Jesus' answer. So he asked Jesus this very crucial question. The question was, who is my neighbor? Because you said in the Old Testament law, love your neighbor as yourself. But who is my neighbor? It's a very good question, isn't it? Why is it a good question? I suppose, how many of you are lawyers here? Good. How many of you wants to become a lawyer? Or how many of you talk like a lawyer? What's the difference? When you talk to a lawyer, you find loopholes. You define what you're trying to say. You say, like, hey, imagine a father talking to his daughter. Please, pick up the dishes and wash the dishes. Then the daughter said, which dishes? Which dish? Is it this plate? Or this cup? Which cups? Or you ask her, or ask your boy, to vacuum the floor. And then he asks you, which part? Which room? Now, he's speaking in a lawyerly language, redefining the boundary. The key of the question is not just about clarifying, but the key is redefining. Why? Because when you say, who is my neighbor? By asking this question, if you say, well, this is your neighbor, you love your neighbor as yourself, so that means you don't have to love these people who are not your neighbors. You understand? By defining, this is the part of the room that I have to vacuum, this part, but not the three floors of the house, then I've done my chore. It's a nice way to get around it. And we all do that all the time. Jesus knew the problem. So he used this Good Samaritan to talk about the real issue. So with the real Samaritan story, with the Good Samaritan story, you have this fellow who has been robbed halfway in a mountain track from Jerusalem, or down from Jerusalem. You've got this person being robbed half naked, half dead. Okay? That's the story. That's the parable. So you have three individuals who come by. The first one is a priest. The second one is a Levite. To the victim, it seems that, oh, I've been robbed, I'm half dead, I've been stripped off, I'm half naked, I'm dying. Oh, from a distance, you see a priest coming. You see Pastor John coming. You see Pastor Devin coming. You see Ellen coming. You may have thought, oh, good, somebody's going to help me. That's what you thought. That's what you expect for someone who is religious, who has faith. Sadly, the priest came, have a look, and walked away. Same with the Levi came. They bothered enough to walk closer to have a look. Ask this question. Why did he even bother to walk up to have a look? Why? But I suppose the only reason is to see whether the one half dead dying, being robbed, whether that person he is his friend or not. If it's his friend, yes, he'll help out. But if it's just a stranger, nobody, then he's just going to walk away. That's the gist of the matter. Unfortunately for the victim, this priest and this Levi didn't treat him as his neighbor. He simply walked away. But then the second question comes. I approach him, I have a look, I didn't know this person, okay, I don't know this person, so you can just keep walking. But the passage said something else. Instead of, oh, okay, he's somebody I don't know, instead of just keep walking, the passage said he walked to the other side of the road as far as possible. So from here, and then walk to the other side of the road and keep walking. Why? 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 It is as if you keep walking, what if all of a sudden that victim will just grab your hand or your arm or your leg and say, help me, don't walk away, don't leave me here, I'm dying, help me. Or, if that happened, someone behind you, another believer or another Levite or priest, just right behind you and seeing that, oh, you're untouched, just keep walking, then they have something to say about you. About your faith, that you're being a hypocrite. So the best way to do that is to avoid that person altogether. And we all do that, don't we? At church, ask yourself this question. How many times do you say to yourself that, oh, this so-and-so is so weird. So weird. I see a lot of people are smiling. And how many of you say, oh, this person is so nosy. He can't shut his mouth. Or he's so quiet. He's a weirdo. And look at his dress. His hairdo. His style. I can't talk to him. I can't talk to her. I don't know what to say. Okay? What you're doing there is redefining who is your friend and who is your neighbor. So when you come to church, you just talk to your neighbors. You just talk to your friends. And you don't see anybody else as if they're not there. totally oblivion. Totally oblivion to them. Totally. And you are happy. Because you feel, yes, I'm a good Christian. Why? Because I have a bunch of good friends. I love them. And they love me. So, what's wrong? I'm fulfilling God's command. I'm a good person. I'm a good song leader. I may even be a good pastor. I'm a good cell group leader. Why? Because I have a bunch of friends that I love and care. But the real issue is, somebody comes up to you and say, oh, how are you going? Oh, I don't feel so good. Why? I'm very depressed. Seen the counselor, he doesn't help. He couldn't help me. I've taken a lot of drugs and medicine. That doesn't help me. In fact, last night, I was trying to cut my wrist. I was trying to cut my wrist, and that's it. No more for me. And then I said, oh, I don't know you very well. That's a tough question. Then he said, I'm so sorry to hear that. But tell you what, I'll keep you in my prayer. But I have a meeting to go to. I have to watch a movie with a friend or someone. Maybe I'll talk to you later. Bye. Basically, what you were doing is to leave someone half dead, half naked there. You went and have a look. Oh, you're not my friend. I'm sorry that you have depression. I'm even sorry that you are suicidal. But sorry, you're not my friend. What can I say? What can I say? My love to you? Well, you're not my friend. You are just not my friend. Look around you, brothers and sisters. Look around you. Do you see anyone half naked? Have you? Well, they're all dressed up. They are not half naked. But emotionally, spiritually, psychologically, socially, they may be half naked. They're crying out for acceptance. They're crying out to get in, to fit in into your group. They couldn't fit in. They can't get into the in-group in their school. They thought, coming to this church, they can. But even at church, people call them widows. People were laughing at them, calling them names. These people are half naked. For some of us, we think we are religious. We think we are faithful. Yet, we turn our eyes away from them. So that's today's story. The question, of course, I have for you is this. I'm not sure whether you are half naked or not. A lot of us try to redefine God's command. By redefining God's command, by limiting who are our neighbors and who are not, we are doing exactly the opposite of God's command. The exact opposite. But for those who deceive themselves, they may think that, yes, I'm a goody-goody. When in fact you are not. You are just like this Old Testament expert. You have a big head. You know everything about every story, every parable in the New Testament or the four Gospels because you have heard of it million times. But the simple question is, how do you read it? Do you actually live it out in your life or not? Let's pray. Dear Lord, we come to you and ask for your forgiveness. Many a time, we neglect, we fail to see people around us. We didn't show any mercy. But in the passage, it is clear that the difference between the Samaritan and the priest and the Levite is that he has a heart, a passion for those who are in need. And this heart comes from you. As a result of us confessing that you are our Lord and our Savior in our everyday life. But Father, please forgive us. Because so many of us here, we do not live a life like that. We are fooling ourselves and we are trying to deceive you and deceive others, trying to live a show when in fact we know that we are restricting whom we are going to love. Forgive us, Father, and help us, transform us, so that we have your heart to love one another. They may be weird, they may be quiet, they may be nosy, but nonetheless, Father, help us to love them because you love them. We pray all this in your name. Amen.